In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The first reading is from chapter 6 of Micah. Hear what the Lord says. Arise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the indictment of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth, for the Lord has an indictment against his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? How have I wearied you? Answer me. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt, and redeemed you from the house of slavery. And I set before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember what Balak, king of Moab, devised, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him, and what happened from Shittim and to Gilgal, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord, and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams and 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love good kindness and to walk humbly with your God? The epistle reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom and our righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
In our gospel lesson for the fourth Sunday after Epiphany, we read that John the Baptist prepared the way of Jesus by announcing that he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. From John chapter 1. And this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" John said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They ask him, "Then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ nor Elijah nor the prophet?" And John answered them, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing. The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." This concludes our gospel reading. Please be seated for our next song, "Come As You Are."
Let us pray.
O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen.
So the word behold means something like look or pay attention to this, right? It's an attention-grabbing word. It means look and see something amazing, something fantastic, something strange, something noteworthy. So when you go out into the world and when you walk around, when you drive up and down the roads, what are the things that your attention is drawn to? What are the things that are crying out to you, behold, look at me? Right, for me, as a younger man, I was interested in architecture, so that really grabbed my attention. Anytime I'd go to a new town, I'd like looking at the old houses, seeing these sort of beautiful old homes, and then new houses, new construction, old buildings and new buildings. I was in Champaign recently and driving through the University of Illinois campus and seeing some of the building structures there, and they're just always sort of interesting to me. But they sort of cry out to you, right? Look here, look at me. My wife remembers being at going to New York City when she was a child, and this was back in the 90s, and taking a taxi cab through the city and wanting to look, press her face up against the glass of the taxi cab so she could look and see the top of the World Trade Center towers, which she couldn't see from the window. She had to stick her head out the window in order to get all the way to the top, and she thought that was something to behold, right? This amazing structure that human beings had built. For seminarians, kids in graduate school, who are all nerds, the thing to pay attention to is academics, right? The latest journal article, the latest academic debate, that kind of stuff. The stuff on social media, the latest movie, the latest piece of music, the latest piece of performance art, all of these things are vying for our attention. And today, of all days, we have a big one, right? Today, this is the high holy day of American sacred athletics. It is the Super Bowl, right? Attention grabbing is even in the name. It's not just a bowl. It's the Super Bowl. You'd better pay attention. And the whole day is designed to keep you focused on those people, right? During the game, you're focused on the players who, of course, every time they score or do something good for their team, walk humbly and meekly off the field, always feigning to everybody else, right? No, of course not. They do a dance, they chest bump each other, they're taking credit. Hey, everybody, look at me. That's what that says, right? The official, not the officials, but the announcers, they're, of course, trying to think of something witty, some intelligent analysis of the game. They're making predictions because they want your attention. They want you to listen to them. There's the halftime show. Who knows what that's going to be like? Fireworks and smoke and music and ridiculousness galore. All so you will look at the people on the stage as if you could look anywhere else. And then there are the commercials, filled with all kinds of obnoxious behavior so that you will remember what they are selling, and hopefully you will buy it. Everything is vying for your attention. It says to you, behold, look at me. And this is our world. We live in what could easily be called the I revolution, right? Not the I as in eyeball, but I as in the letter I, right? iPhone, iPad. Because that's what the world is about. It's about me now being the center of attention. And social media has especially made this possible, right? I can get on Facebook and throw something out there and hope everybody turns their attention to me. I did this a couple weeks ago. I put a joke out on Facebook because I wanted people to think I was funny. They didn't, so it didn't work. But I didn't do it because I cared about them. I did it because I wanted their attention for whatever reason. Think about it this way. If you went home and somebody had wiped clean your Netflix queue, you would be highly annoyed, right? Because that is yours. You curated this whole list of TV shows and movies that you wanted to watch, and somebody got rid of it without your permission, because I am the center of my Netflix queue, because I am the center of my universe. And these things are all just symptoms. We're born this way, right? We come into the world caved in on ourselves as bent over navel gazers, concerned with our own gut desires, our own needs, our own wants. That's our biggest concern as sinful people. And in stark contrast to this, here comes John the Baptizer completely thwarting everybody's attention. And this is weird because John looks on the outside like he wants your attention, right? John is just overtly weird. He goes out into the wilderness and lives in the desert with the animals. He wears weird clothes. He's got camel's hair clothing and a big leather belt around his waist. He eats bugs, right? He eats these giant Middle Eastern locusts that are about the size of a hot dog, and he dips them in honey, I guess, to help them go down. He's just strange. And he's preaching these sermons out in the wilderness, and people are flocking to him to hear what he has to say. And when they finally get there, what John doesn't do is say, "Look at me, look at me." No. They say, "Who are you?" And he says, "I'm nobody." "No, come on, tell us, who are you really? Are you the Christ?" "No, I'm not the Christ." "Are you Elijah?" "No, I'm not Elijah." "Are you the prophet that was destined to come?" "No, I'm not the prophet." "What are you? Who are you?" And John's answer is, "I'm not even a human being. I'm just a voice. I am merely the voice of one crying in the wilderness and preparing the way of the Lord. And that's it." And then one day, this other guy shows up. And John immediately takes everybody's attention. Everybody's eyes are fixed on John. And John says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John doesn't want our attention, at least for no other reason than to direct it to Christ. "Look, everyone over there. Don't pay attention to me. Don't focus on who I am or what I'm saying. Focus on that guy. He's the one you're to listen to. He's the one to behold, to look at, to truly see." John goes a step further than probably any sane pastor would. He even sends his disciples to listen to Jesus. Imagine this, if you showed up in church next Sunday and Pastor Chris was like, "All right, everybody, we're going to go down the street to this other church because this preacher is the real deal. He's way better than me. I'm nothing. This guy is real." No, no pastor in their right mind would do that, right? Their job is to be up here preaching you the word. And yet that's what John does. He says, "Stop listening to me and go follow him. Go and follow Jesus." And that's where our attention undoubtedly belongs. Not on ourselves, not on the Super Bowl, or whatever other thing might catch our eye this day or any other day. Our attention belongs to Jesus. We're to fix our eyes to behold Jesus for our eternal salvation. Jesus takes away the sin of the world. His death on the cross takes every wicked thing that we have ever done and cleanses us from it. Completely takes it away. His resurrection from the dead gives us new life, life that will never end. So when we are afraid, when death is near, when we are trembling because of our sins, we go to Jesus. We give him our attention, and he forgives us. We're also to look to Jesus for our temporal salvation. See, it's not just ultimately, someday he will save me from death. It's here and now. We see this problem illustrated for us when we have somebody who's in the hospital, right? Somebody we love is ill or going through surgery or they're dying. And we do everything we can to help them. And the doctors do everything they can to help. And they perform surgery and prescribe medicines. And when all of that is done, when finally every last ounce of energy that we could pour into helping this person is spent, we say, now all we can do is pray. As if prayer were the thing we should leave till the end. But it isn't. Jesus deserves our attention at the beginning of everything. When we are ill, when we are in danger, when we are afraid, when we are happy and rejoicing, when we are giving thanks, all of those things begin and end and are covered over in the middle by Jesus. He is the one we should go to first, because he's the one that will listen, and he's the only one who can truly save. And our attention belongs to Jesus for direction and for inspiration. Jesus is our Savior, but he's not only our Savior. He's more than an example for us, but he's never less than an example. What Jesus does is he reveals God to us. He shows us who God is. When he comes to this earth, we see God. So you know what God is like. It's contained for you here in this book. It tells you who God is and what he's like. It reveals God's character to you. It doesn't just show us what a good man is supposed to be. It shows us who a good God truly is. That's what Jesus does. And we see in Jesus the heart of a servant. We see his humility, his courage, and his love. And we do what he told his first disciples to do. We follow him. As you are surely well aware, there are plenty of times in life where you will be the center of attention. And if you're like most people, that's a really uncomfortable place to be. For example, if you've ever applied to a university or applied for a job, right? You go in to the school, you fill out all the paperwork. You tell them all about yourself, and you send those papers in, and the person who opens that packet and opens it up immediately begins doing what? They start judging you. That's their job, to weigh you in the balance. Are you smart enough to attend this school? The same at a job interview. You sit down in the chair, and the person across that desk is weighing you. They're sizing you up. Are you hardworking enough? Are you good enough to be a part of this workforce, to be a part of our crew? Sometimes the answer is yes, and sometimes it is no. But it is judgment nonetheless, and it's never a very comfortable thing. But thanks be to God that on the last day, when the actual judge arrives, the one judge above all judges, when he comes and we are raised from the dead by our Lord Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit, and we stand before God with all our lives laid bare and naked before him, both good and evil, and we stand before God the judge. On that day, even God's attention will be drawn away from us. Even God himself on that day will say, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We're now going to continue with confession and absolution. If you would please take out your hymnals, turn to page 213 in the front, and stand up. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord,
and you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
In a pause for a moment of silent reflection upon our own sin. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of Christ, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and the Lord Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge. Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the
bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, receive our tithes and offerings as our joyful response to your love in giving us the gift of your Son, our Savior. Faithful God, thank you for your Son, our Savior, the Lamb of God, who came to give himself as a sacrifice to win forgiveness for a sinful world. The Passover Lamb, whose blood saves us from death, a Lamb without blemish or defect, who fulfilled God's law in our stead, and a Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise forever. Dear Jesus, as your life fulfilled the law on our behalf, you were presented in the temple at 40 days old for purification. Grant that we are presented before the Father in your purity with clean hearts from your sacrifice. Lord of the harvest, your Son commanded us to pray to send laborers into the field. In answer to that prayer, you raise up men to serve your people here at San Prairie. Thank you for Pastor Chris and Pastor Josh this morning, who bring us the message of grace and forgiveness. Thank you for our Sunday school and Good Shepherd teachers who bring the love of Jesus to our children. We pray for our country and its leaders, Almighty God, as they are continuing to be faced with critical matters. Grant them wisdom that they may seek your guidance in all that is said and done. Please protect all those who serve in the armed forces from harm and danger as they stand ready to defend our country. Gracious God, your mercies are new to us every morning, and yet we often know the pain of sickness, injury, and sorrow. Be with Norm Tisdale, who is a patient at OSF St. Francis, and Donna Barrett, who is experiencing health difficulties. In your never-fading mercy, strengthen and encourage those in our prayer list who are suffering the effects of cancer. Karen Babb, Shalina Molson, Tammy Glass, Lisa Heilman, Chris Miller, Billy Moore, Camilla Coy, Dick Rona, Deb Shea, and Cheryl Hubin. Thanks be to you, loving Father, for those celebrating birthdays this week. Tom Strawbridge on Thursday, Joe Warwick and Bonnie Montgomery on Friday, and Luke Clockengay on Saturday. According to your goodwill, we pray that you would grant Tom and Joe and Bonnie and Luke continued years of health and happiness. As we pray daily for families of our congregation, we offer special petitions this morning for the Fuelbirth, the Gallup, and the Garman families, that you would keep them in your loving care. These prayers we bring to you, loving God, in the name of your Son, our Savior, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, and who has taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Now receive our Lord's benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give to you his peace. Amen.